The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Colombia.
It's that time of the week again, folks. It's me, your host, Richard McCall, here in Bogota, Colombia, 2,600 meters closer to the stars. We have a very special guest on the show this week, episode 160. She's been on the show before and will be accompanied by another person, an artist of great fame and repute. But Sandra Higgins was on our episode 117 all the way back over a year ago when she was here in Colombia, sort of organizing the art world. She's an independent art advisor and curator. And we're talking today, we've got her on the line in London, and we'll be talking to Omar Castañeda as well, artist, Colombian artist on the line in London too. We'll be talking about this event that's being set up for the beginning of November in Bermondsey, in the Art Bermondsey Project Space Gallery. Sandra, welcome on Columbia Calling. Welcome back.
Well, thank you, Richard. It's really nice to speak with you again.
Yes.
I had a great time speaking with you in Bogota.
Well, of course, we had a very popular show talking about the art world because it's something completely left field for me. While I enjoy art, I really don't know what to say a lot about it. But it's a pleasure to have you on the show again. And you're all the way over there in London. It's amazing that we can do this. But tell us what, I mean, obviously, your time in Colombia has really left an impact for you to be spearheading this art, Colombian art collective for November in Bermondsey.
Yes, well, as we discussed when I was living in Bogota, I've been very interested in Colombian art for over 4 years now. And last year, as you say, I decided I'd spend 7 months living in Bogota and traveling around the country, looking at the work of many artists and trying to decide how I could bring some of that to London. Mm-hmm. In doing so, I worked with Omar Castañeda, whom you've just mentioned and will speak with soon, I hope. And I curated an exhibition at the Museum of Contemporary Art in Bogota, Panela, the New Gold of Colombia. Mm-hmm. So I've got very involved not only in the art of Colombia, but in the culture and the social changes as well. Mm-hmm. And I felt it was a time to come back and dispel all these rumors about Colombia and the notorious artists or the notorious situation, and to present especially in London, to present what I saw as a highly cultured, highly talented, highly sophisticated art scene in Colombia.
Is this true? Why is it that the Colombian art scene isn't as well known as it could be or as it should be?
Well, I think because we're all going through this with the piece. I include myself now. Mm-hmm. Everyone teases me, gringa, yo estoy colombiana. I think because of the troubles over the, Omar can speak to this more, and because of the troubles over the past few years, 50 years, Colombia has found itself really not proud of its artistic culture, I think, to be perfectly honest. And that might be because many people have not been able to experience it. You know, the great film Magia Salvaje, mm-hmm. When I went to the theaters to look at it, I thought, well, this is kind of, why do we need this? It's a little bit OTT, over the top. And then I realized that many Colombians had never been able to visit their own beautiful country. So I think it's a matter of perspective, and I want to help them find their way through this somewhat inferior complex that they suffer from.
And I think that is a huge issue, that it's this inferior complex, and there shouldn't be this inferior complex, because Colombia has everything and should be proud of it. And I think it's part of that identity that needs to be shown. So this is what you're doing. This is what you're doing from the 1st to the 9th of November, right?
Well, that's why I've chosen to call the show The New Face of Colombia, because we're looking forward. And we're trying to bring documentaries, art installations, photographs. As I said, we're working with several Colombian charities so far, and the list is growing. The beauty of the show is that it will develop, and we will encompass or let others join us throughout the show. So we're already working with Children Changing Colombia, with Caring for Colombia. We're also working with the Santa Maria Foundation. We have the full support of the embassy and the ambassador, who's going to open our exhibition. So we're really trying to make it as much as we can a comprehensive look at Colombia today.
It's very inclusive then. I mean, with all of these different charities and the ambassador, was Nestor Osorio, I believe. But that thing, I like that you the gringa is now Colombian. We are looking for this. We're this. You know, I live here, but I'm guilty of this the whole time. It is, you know, but Colombia does that to you, doesn't it? I mean, you are drawn in.
Yes, I'm glad you say that, because people say to me, well, why are you doing this? You know, even friends say, well, why have you taken up this position? You know, there are other places you could be, other things you could do. But I think it's Colombia. You go to Colombia and the people are generous, they're lovely, they're gifted, accepting, and I fell in love with Colombia.
Wow, that's so wonderful to hear. Let's talk. I mean, this is the new face of Colombia, the new face. This is your thing. It's about the social, political, and cultural changes. Tell us a little bit about the artists that you've got signed up for this event so far. We can leave out Omar, because we'll have him. We'll tune in with him shortly. But tell us about the others who you've got signed up already.
Okay. Well, we've got actually around 8 artists signed up already. Piers Calvert, who is British, and I mean, it's interesting because Nestor Osorio, Ambassador Osorio, says. Precisely in his endorsement letter, he says, this is what I'm trying to do, be this link between the UK and Colombia. So we're not all Colombian, but we all love Colombia, as I said. So Piers Calvert is a photographer who worked with Richard Emblem on the City Paper for many years. He lived there for 3 years. You probably know him. And he's showing some of his photographs. Lorena Savera Farrar is a young filmmaker whom I worked with for last year, when I accompanied Carlos Acanamahoy to Santiago Putumayo. We began a video of Colombia. She's presenting the work from the Santa Maria Foundation. Gwen Bernier has the Chocolate of Peace video, which I'm sure you've seen in Bogota already, and she's going to be screening that. Claudia Fisher is another Colombian filmmaker, and she has a video called As the Tree Under the Hurricane. It's about two young women that she's kind of adopted and helped through their education. Alvaro Diego Gomez Composano is doing a video about the Ataro, which is a fishing community in Colombia. Andres Beltran, a filmmaker, is doing a film about El Librero. It's about a young man in a library in Colombia. Erwin Gogol is doing a video about the Palenque, and he's looked at this over 40 years, you know, the Palenque, the community.
San Basilio de Palenque.
Maria Cardenas is looking at the Guayabera. She is a designer who lives in Northern Ireland, and she is creating the Guayabera, we hope, as an installation to show the garment that many Colombians wear for many of the important celebrations. And obviously it was, and Omar can speak to this, he used it in one of his paintings. It was featured, of course, in the amazing handshake in Havana,
of course.
The handshake piece.
They were all in their guayaberas there. They were all of them.
Even, they were all in guayaberas there.
Ban Ki-moon.
And then the last, I suppose, exciting thing is that we have invited emerging Colombian filmmakers to apply by invitation. So we will have in the gallery an ongoing group of new artists that will just be emerging. So we have the whole building at the Bermondsey Art Project space, which is a great location. It's right across the street from the White Cube Gallery in London.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a, you know, a top floor will be the photographs, Omar Castaneda's installation, and downstairs a screening room and more objects. So maybe Omar wants to tell you about his installation.
Yes.
I should say, before you go on, I'm asking each artist in the catalog to express the way I just have, what Colombia means to them, and how it has changed or enhanced their practice, their work. So it'll be kind of a view as well of what I've just said, why Colombia, from the artist's mouth as well.
Okay, well, fantastic, Sandra. Thank you for that. That's very complete indeed. Omar, welcome on Colombia Calling. It's a real pleasure to have you.
Thank you for the invitation. It's a pleasure to be here.
And you're in London as well, so we're both in my home city, and I'm in your home city, I think.
Well, this is my home city as well. I have been living here for almost 12 years, so that's kind of my home too.
Yeah.
You know?
Basically, we swapped places. I've been here for 10. So, Omar, tell us a little bit about, I mean, what this exhibition, this collective that Sandra is helping curate, is curating, what this means for you, for Colombia, and for the art world.
Well, for me, it's really important to have this exhibition now that Colombians is kind of a new trend in the world. You know, we are really popular at the moment with the peace process, also with the Nobel Prize. So it's important that people see Colombia as it is, not like the old bad stuff that we used to have in Colombia. Well, we still have it, but not as bad as it was before. And I think Sandra came up with a really good idea of bringing different aspects of Colombia, different artists, and to show the positive face of our country.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a really good idea, and I think it's working very well.
Yeah, and so you mean you'll have a whole floor dedicated to your work. Obviously people who know your work will come along, but I imagine you're hoping to expand an awareness of what you do and the work with the panela, which seems to be a trademark for much of your artistry.
Well, yes, I have been working with the sugar cane with the panela for almost 7 years, and I start when I was doing my master here in Central San Martin. I did my final show with a ton of sugar cane with panela. And since then, I have been working on those, and I have like a really good base fan here. And well, what I think people will find here in this exhibition is how I relate with Colombia, how I make the link between UK and Colombia, how I make these metaphors about the two cultures, because I feel like I belong to both of them.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way to show that, I use this element that is the sugar, the sugar cane, the panela, to embrace the people, to understand what is going on in my head.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. And are the other artists involved in this collective, are the other artists, they're all known to you as well, right? You're all friends.
Well, yes, I know most of them. I know the Pierce and Gwen.
Mm-hmm.
I met her here probably last year, and I have been following his work and her work since then, and they are really good, and we have been working on together for a new project. So that's my challenge. Yeah, good.
Yeah, we're going to say that you guys are going to be like a new brat pack of Colombian artists, right?
That's a nice idea. What a good idea.
Well, why not? We were always talking about branding, this unfortunate term, but, you know, we could just say you're the new upstarts of the Colombian art. You're no longer, you know, let's push, I didn't want to have to mention him, but let's push Botero to one side, and let's not mention, although, of course, we should, Gabriel Garcia Marquez, but let's talk about the new literary movements and the new art movements, because that's the deal, isn't it? It's to not turn our backs on the past. It's to embrace the past but show the future, right? I mean, that's why it's the new face of Colombia.
That's right, and that's why I think this is a platform that I hope will go on. Mm-hmm. I couldn't be as comprehensive as I wanted to, but this has been an idea, as I say, that I've had for years, and the last 2 years been hatching it. And I hope this would be an annual thing, so that in the future, the new face of Colombia will bring more talent, more ideas, and further enhance the image that we've discussed needs to be corrected, really, of Colombia and its arts and culture. I do think, and we talked about this in Bogota, that a country can build its reputation, or at least improve its reputation, through art and culture. Mm-hmm. It's such an easy thing to sponsor. It's such an important thing in our lives, and it is so frequently overlooked.
Yes, this is true. Well, I'm talking to Omar Castañeda, who's a young Colombian artist who's in London, and Sandra Higgins, who's an independent art advisor and curator. And we're talking about the new face of Colombia, a collective, let's say, an event that will be taking place between the 1st of November and 9th of November in London at the Art Bermondsey Project Space Gallery. We're going to take a short break here on Colombia Calling and come back and talk further about this new art movement coming out of Colombia and why it's important and why people should go to this, you know, this event between the 1st and the 9th of November. So don't go away, listeners. We'll be right back and talking further with these two very important people in the art world and discussing further issues about Colombia. Thank you for listening. And we're back. This is episode 160 of Colombia Calling. I'm in Bogota, Colombia, and my two guests this week are in London. They're in separate areas of London, but they're in London. So I'm talking to Omar Castañeda, who is a famous Colombian part of the young movement of Colombian artists. And I'm also talking to Sandra Higgins, an independent art advisor and curator who was on episode 117 back in the day here in Bogota. But we're talking about, for those of you who are just tuning in, we're talking about this collective exhibition, this collective art space that's being set up at the Bermondsey Project Space Gallery in November in London between the 1st and the 9th, and it's called The New Face of Colombia. It's about social, political, and cultural change. And so this is what we're discussing. This is what we're discussing with Omar and with Sandra, and we've discussed some very interesting things here, but let's focus a little bit on your art, Omar. I mean, you use panela, this, you know, this unrefined sugar cane sweetener, let's say, which is so, it evokes so many memories and so much importance to Colombians. And surely that's why you decided to use this as a key medium for your art.
Well, you're right. When I was doing the master here, I was feeling a little bit homesick. And then when I was thinking I need to make a connection with my country, something that making me feel that I'm still alive. And then I started thinking, and then I came across with the panela in one of the shops here in London. And I thought, well, that's really interesting material that I would love to work with. And also at the beginning, I didn't want to. It was something that it wasn't the right element for me. Mm-hmm. But when I started reading and, you know, researching about the history of the sugarcane, the panela, that was when I started finding so many elements for to create, you know, these stories that I do with my installations. And panela for me is like, it's like Colombia. Mm-hmm. It's that connection with my country. And I really enjoy it. I used to hate panela when I was a kid. And probably that's something that we do in Colombia, especially because we don't care about the national products in a way, you know, like this kind of thing. Because normally the panela is associated with low class, you know, like working class, and people don't see that. They don't want to see that. So it's kind of weird thoughts that people have with the panela. And that probably was one of my focus, to bring that the power of the panela, to show how important it's for the whole society, the panela.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's something that's so ordinary, you know. I'm not saying that it's boring. It's just part of an everyday life in Colombia, panela. I mean, you don't even think about it. And I think, you know, for you, maybe it was tough, no? You're like, oh, hang on a second, panela is really important, but it's kind of, I don't want to trivialize it, but I almost see it in the same category as the Chocorama, you know? Colombians love it. I mean, that harks back to childhood, that harks back to carefree days and so on. And a bit like the panela, it's just there, isn't it? But you're taking something and you've made it the key point. Now, a lot of your artwork, I mean, it does deal with the political issues going on in the country. So you're taking something so, let's say, routine and addressing a difficult situation. I mean, this has got to be hard for you, but I think as you are so far away, as you do a lot of your work, obviously in London, you were at Central St. Martin's, it's easier to make that reflection, do you think? I mean, when you're away from Colombia.
I think, yes, it's easy because you don't have, I mean, you are connected to your country, but also you are part of it. Mm-hmm. So you have a better view. So you are not so contaminated, mm-hmm. in a way, with the news or with the people. So probably you have a clear image, and then you can also speculate, in a way. So I think that probably is the good to be here and not being Colombian, doing those works over there.
Yeah. I'm also curious where you found the panela in London. I mean, you know, I'm sure it's down in Elephant and Castle or somewhere like that.
I went to La Bodeguita and so many places here, especially Elephant and Castle. But for me, I brought 1 ton of sugar cane or panela for one of my shows. So I got a lot of sugar in my studio, so it's full of it.
You've got bricks and bricks of panela.
Yes. And our Bogota show, part of the installation where the bricks and bricks were, was it Doña Panela who gave us the panela in Bogota? And so the bricks are, and it's, by the way, it's very delicious. It's habit forming.
Oh no! So now, I mean, you know, Sandra is converted. I mean, we've learned this over now two shows. Sandra is an honorary Colombian. I don't even think an honorary Colombian. She's Colombian now. I mean, that's it. You're lost to the U.S. You're lost to London. You're a Colombian who's in London, working for Colombia. I'm kind of interested in exploring this a little bit because, you know, it's something that you and I obviously relate to immensely. We could, you know, when things go bad, wash our hands and decide, you know, forget Colombia. It's just so tricky. But it's almost like a, I don't want to put it like a disease because that's negative, but it's like something, we've caught something and it makes us continue to work for Colombia and work for the people and try and change what is this perception about Colombia.
Well, I think that for me, it's the attitude of the people. I mean, it sounds trite, I suppose, but Colombians have been voted some of the happiest people in the world. You know that. You've seen articles. Mm-hmm. And they are. And they are about family. They're warm. They're embracing. They're totally accepting of me. Very eager to be part of the Western world. Many of the artists, Omar knows this, are so eager to come to London or to go to Europe. 2017 is the year of cultural exchange between Colombia and France. Uh-huh. So that's another opportunity. So it's and you know, one also has to think, of course, of the landscape. Yeah. I've been so privileged to travel from the top to the bottom of Colombia and meet people throughout the country with the same attitude, always accepting. Mm-hmm. I was never fearful. I was never felt out of place. So I suppose for me, that's it. The key is how happy and how generous and how good the people of Colombia are and how much I want them to be able to promote this image of themselves and their beautiful country.
Mm-hmm. I think that's very positive.
Andres is right. Definitely Colombians, we are really happy people and we love to help we are so friendly. And I think that's really key. It's important attitude that we have as a Colombian. We always thinking that we can do better and we always really do better.
I think
that's
so.
Right.
It's interesting. You know, I spent the last, I spent 4 days recently in the way back and beyond of Caquetá. not with the FARC, not at their conference, but I was in way back and beyond in Caquetá, in an area of just pure campesinos, all with troubles with their land. Only recently the town of San Juan de Losada, it's just within Meta, in fact, but we had to go travel all the way through Caquetá to get there. Coming back took 17 hours, and that's including a flight, you know. only in Colombia. But these people had no reason to accept me and had no reason to you know, invite me into their homes, invite me to eat with them, to talk about their lives, the problems, their hopes. They had no reason, but they did. You know, it was just doors were thrown open, the conversations was open, there was no topic that was off out of bounds. They wanted me to know what was going on. They wanted me to know how they're going to move forward. And it was incredibly, despite some, you know, some negativisms, but it was an incredibly uplifting experience to be able to go down here into the middle of nowhere, really. What I think overall, and what I you study a lot, is the Colombian identity. And I think, obviously, with this new generation of artists and authors, artists, as you have, you know, filmmakers, so on, it's a new identity. It's obviously building on an older identity in Colombia, but I think we're reaching for something beyond, obviously, of course, the Escobarian past that has been the identity for the last 20, 25 years. Yeah. What would we like? I mean, I think perhaps this goes to Omar. You know, what would we, what would you as a Colombian prefer, or ideally like a Colombian identity to represent? Let's say for the new a new generation, because we're having a new generation coming through. Mainly, let's say an urban generation in Colombia who've known nothing of the conflict beyond the city. Really, I mean, there's so many, you know, young Bogotanos or Paisas who know nothing about what's going on in Caquetá or Putumayo or elsewhere. But there has to be a new identity movement, doesn't there?
Yeah, I think that is something that we are building now. Of course, you know, this young generation is still touched a little bit by the war and everything that happened. But I think that we are trying to get the positive from those experience and make it something beautiful from that, especially for the arts. And I think that the young generation, it will be grateful for all the things that we are doing now, because we're living in a different country, something that I'm wishing to live to as well.
And I mean, I think that in your work as well, Sandra, it's an identity question.
Yes, and that's why I'm very pleased that we're going to have events with several of the charities. Mm-hmm. For example, Children Changing Colombia. Their contribution is going to be a video that they filmed in Cali.
Yeah.
And they were actually talking to some of the very young children who had been former soldiers and who were released, and what their lives they feel can be in the future. I haven't seen the video. It's going to be Duncan Miller, the director, said, a little bit kind of thrown together because it's something that they've just produced recently. Mm-hmm. But I think that's very important, that in the light of all they've gone through, they can still be positive and they can still look for this this new beginning of Colombia. So I'm looking forward to that. That'll be on the 18th of November. The show actually goes, Richard, from the 1st to the 19th of November.
So it's a long show. Sorry.
3 weeks. London becomes Colombia. Well, Colombia to London.
This really does seem like a huge... Now, I have to ask, because you're having it first the 19th, I've got that wrong. will there be Colombian food as well to entertain the people, to keep them fueled?
Yes, go ahead, Omar. Go on.
That's part of my artwork. when you see my installations, you can eat some of my works, and that's quite crucial for my work. I like people to have this... connection with the artwork by eating. So when you go definitely to see my work, you're going to eat.
Okay. For sure. We could just take a bite out of your sculpture.
Yeah, I can do that. Yeah.
Omar also silk screens on edible paper. He's a printmaker as well as, you know, a sculptor, and he does this on edible paper. And we have a day on the 5th of November, which is Art You Can Eat Day. So you're invited to come in and gobble up all the installation that you possibly can. And it's open to the public, and so it's great fun. The installation disappears that day for one day.
Art You Can Eat Day. You know, it just sounds so experimental to me. I'm just an old fuddy-duddy. It's kind of incredible. I'm going to make sure that my stepmother, I think she's in London for these dates, so I'm going to make sure that she goes along and hopefully to the Art You Can Eat Day. She doesn't eat a lot, so she'll be the perfect guest. But I think I think that's fascinating. Now, Omar, I was looking at some of your installations and some of the things, you know, on the press release and so on, and it looked to me like there's this light bulb with panela. And is it teeth?
Yeah, it's plastic teeth, but yeah, yes.
Okay.
And it was about hunger.
It's about hunger. Right. Can you develop it a little bit more for me? Because if I was to receive this, let's say the press release, without really knowing a little bit about you and about your work, I would be quite confused. I'm quite confused by this element.
Okay. Well, that piece, I was doing this research about biofuels. And how sugar cane, it has been produced now for biofuels instead of for consumption, for human consumption. Mm-hmm. Not just Colombia, but also in India, in Brazil. So that was the reason I decided to do this kind of work that is a libel that is full of panela, that is energy. Mm-hmm. But this libel have this mouth, and this mouth is kind of like asking for food, but it's so full of what they have, but it's missing that. So that's the whole idea about these light bulbs with the teeth. It's about the hunger, that we produce so many food, but we don't give it to the right people. So it's kind of the waste. So that's the reason of that light bulb asking for food.
Well, see, now I see it. You know, now I understand. I can see the relation between the light bulb, the teeth. I'm glad they're plastic teeth as well, I have to say.
Well, sometimes I use real teeth.
But I like that.
Nobody we know.
I like that. Well, if you eat too much panela, I mean, you're going to fall out. But I like that. I like that about the waste. Again, let me go back to my recent visit down there. These people have so much, let's say, access to land that's so fertile and they could cultivate everything, but they only, so let's say, farm the basic things. And I could see that most people were, you know, suffering from a stage of like a malnutrition, because all they ate was beef, everything to do with beef and nothing else. There's not even a mango grown in this area. Oh. And there's no culture to it. And you're just like, you could do everything. And I think that's just this, I think this with the art world, with the social world, with the political world, there's just this need for diversification a bit. And I think that's what Colombia is going through. It just is opening up, isn't it? I mean, despite what's going on in the Palacio de Nariño behind the closed doors, there is an increasing awareness amongst the population of what Colombia is capable of. I don't know if either one of you want to comment on that.
Omar? What do you want to go ahead?
No, you go ahead.
I can put my foot in my mouth.
Yeah, go for it.
as a gringo, I suppose I can do that. Okay. Well, I think that, and it's not just Colombia. I'm a former American, Estados Unidos. So I was born in Chicago, and I'm a British citizen as well, and a citizen of the world, I hope, and now Colombia. But I think that many times governments get out of touch and wealthy people get out of touch with the ordinary person. You know, and look at the United States, look at the choice they're having to make in their presidential. Yeah, I know, shake your head too. So I think that both sides in the, if that's what you're asking, I don't have a side. Mm-hmm. From President Santos or Senor Uribe. But I do know that it has caused a great schism, mm-hmm. a great polarization in the country, mm-hmm. which is shocking to me, because everybody wants peace. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
The campesinos want peace, Uribe's people want peace, Santos want peace, but the powers get involved in a battle that doesn't relate to the people. Look at Brexit in the UK. I am being political. Yeah. You know, and I think we've got to bring it back to the people, and the people have to be fully understand what the meaning of the peace is in Colombia, and then I think they will be united. I mean, that really is my hope. I think it's a setback, mm-hmm. but they'll be united, and then the problems of the campesinos, which will get worse if there's no peace, you know that.
Yep.
You only have to ask Gwen Bernier. Mm. If those troubles start again in the regions, it will be terrible for everyone. So there is, I hope, a momentum towards peace and sensibility that will be reached very soon. And so while my show, or the show I'm curating with the help of all these wonderful artists, mm-hmm. is about that. It's about being somewhat apolitical, if we can, or non-political, so that we can say, come together for the future, because there is this positive future for the country. So come together for peace.
I think that's a good message. Mildly political on occasion, but then that's what I was looking for. I think it's fine. I don't think you put your foot in it in your mouth at all. I think this is true. I mean, at the end of it, that's what we all want, isn't it? I mean, even here, I'm a former Brit. I still hold the passport, but I have a Colombian son, a Colombian wife, businesses in Colombia. You know, this is where I am. This is where I'm living. I have no plans to leave. We want peace. I mean, that's it. Omar, how do you feel about everything that's going on at the moment?
Well, what can I say? I know that we're going to get to that point that we're going to live in peace. But also, what happened now in Colombia with all this no referendum, I thought really bad and sad, because the people were misunderstood or misled. And I think when people didn't care about, I think, you know, the absence, it was 61% in the, and I think that's really huge. I don't know if the people were like granting that we have the yes, and I think that we need to go out and, you know, to show that we really want to do that. So in a case, in a way, I think that what happened now, that people are demonstrating, you know, they're going on the streets and saying, you know, we want this, we want the peace. I think that in a way it was good that it happened. Mm. And I think that we are gonna get together to get that point to be in peace. And I think we are gonna do it. And now we are gonna, well, the president start talking probably with the NLA, mm-hmm. with the guerrilla, and they decide to dialogue. So I think that everything goes, you know, very well. I think we are gonna reach the point that we are gonna be in peace in Colombia after 52 years, something like that.
52 years.
So I think, well, and you know, again, we signed the peace process, the signed agreement, but this doesn't mean that we're going to have peace. We have to work really hard in order to get that point. It's everything apart from that point to forward, you know, to the future.
Mm, it's true. I think we're in a key point, and I get the feeling that we've gone past the point of no return. I think, you know, in terms of, you know, negotiations have gone forward. 10, 15 years ago, this was unthinkable, you know, but the negotiations have gone forward. The social movements are strong, you know, the feeling. There is not one conversation when you pass people in the streets now that does not revolve around something to do with the political, scenario and the peace dialogues continuing and the arguments. And it's good that the debate is on, isn't it? It's good. I mean, it's good that people are involved.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely it's good, but also it's good that people start participating more.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what is really important. And it's important that even the young generation go and speak there, you know, speak what they think about it and be supported with all this process. Because actually they are the people that are going to live in the future. Yeah. And they will be making this new country, this new face of Colombia.
This is the truth, and you tied that in nicely with your with the event, the new face of Colombia. Well, let me just say thank you to both of you. We're coming to the end of this interview, episode 160. Let me say thank you first to Omar Castañeda. new movement, young generation, young artist coming, you know, making his mark, working with Panella, who will be exhibiting at the Art Bermondsey Project space between the 1st and the 19th of November. They're in London. Go and see the exhibition. This is being curated by Sandra Higgins, who is an independent art advisor and curator and Colombian. You know, it just sounds so interesting. You know, the lineup that you've got, the issues that we are dealing with in Colombia at the moment, everything sounds, you know, it just sounds like it's the ideal time to do this. And of course, you, Sandra, you know, you've felt this and you know this as a curator and as, you know, an honorary Colombian. You know that this is the time to do this. This is the time to set this up and continue to work for Colombia. So let me just say thank you to both of you for your time and sharing your insights.
Well, thank you very much, Richard. It's been a real pleasure, as it was before. And I do hope many people will come to visit the exhibition. But I think I would like to end by saying I want people to visit Colombia, because that's the other side, too. Oh, a friend of mine who's a filmmaker said he came through the U.S. Customs and they said that Colombia was on the ban list for travel. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Well, this is utterly ridiculous. So we've got to have a two-way flow.
Yeah.
Colombia is wonderful. I invite everyone to visit it as I did and come see a little bit of it in London.
Excellent. Thank you both. Thank you both for your time. Of course, we'll be promoting your event on our Facebook pages, Twitter, and so on. This has been episode 160. I've been Richard McCall talking to Omar Castañeda and Sandra Higgins over there in London. I'm in Bogota. This has been Colombia Calling. Thank you for listening. I know you've enjoyed the show. It's been a great one. Be sure to tune in next week when we have more interesting interviewees on the line to talk about Colombia. Goodbye.